From all corners of the globe to your ears, it's the Midnight Movie Cowboys. Sometimes informative, sometimes controversial, but always unpredictable. It's the Midnight Movie Cowboys podcast with your hosts, Hunter, John, and Stu. And now, on with the show.
Hello, my far-out friends, and welcome to another edition of the Midnight Movie Cowboys. My name is Hunter Deucing, your far-out host, and I've decided that I'm changing my name to Pisces. You know, I think it speaks to my inner energy. And joining me is my fellow brother in love, follower of Father Yod's commandments, Mr. John Grace. But I think, John, I think his energy says his name is something else, you know, something more to his energy. What do you think that is, my brother?
Well, clearly, I think it should be Gemini Aquarian, so there we go.
Gemini Aquarian is far out, brother.
I thought you were going to be, like, Beekeeper Aquarian.
Yeah, it just wasn't Greek mythology enough.
Hey, man, you know, John's in touch with nature, man. He gets right to the source of
Gemini is the twins, man. It's a duality.
Man, bro. That's right, brother. That's right. And joining us also is a brother from the Australian chapter of the source, Mr. Stuart Balk. What's your energy tell you? Your name is Stu, my brother. That's your normal name. You know, you got to get your far out enlightened name, like my brother's Orbit and. What's your energy tell you your name is, my brother?
Pussy Hound.
My brother, you know, I think that comes later in the Source family history. You know, that sort of stuff.
Pussy Hound always comes later. He's never a sharpshooter.
that's where the brainwashing really takes effect, bro.
You know, okay, so the movie we're doing today is The Source Family. The 2012 documentary by Jody Willey and Maria Dimpalos. I don't know, one of those Greek names. And it seems like every cult, there's eventually a part where the guys go, by the way, you know, women are all our property.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can take as many wives as we want. We'll start out. You know, Joseph Smith did this, where if you read the Book of Mormon, it's pretty clear polygamy is a no-no. It's one man, one woman. But Joe Smith in private would take girls aside and go, listen, the angel Moroni gave me a revelation from God. Says you got to be my 67th wife. That's right. You didn't know about the others because it's a secret.
Well, technically, he's still one man, one woman. It's just at a time. That's all.
Yes.
Doesn't mean overall.
You don't get them all at once.
No.
Unless you're Father Yod, because apparently he got them all at once.
Stick to one at a time, I don't think. Just a theory I had, you know. it's like that with Rastafarianism, too. They're like, all the women have to sleep with us, you know.
Yeah,
but so the Source family. This was I had heard of this documentary, but I had never heard of the Source family.
No,
but apparently this is the kind of the hippie 70s cult.
You know?
Like, I mean, I didn't realize, you know, that was so many things were sort of referencing that. That kind of, you know, flower child.
It was,
that really blew up in the early 70s more than the 60s. That's what is often misconceived about the whole 60s. Well,
that's the thing. That's the thing is, if I had looked at this, I would have thought this was a late 60s thing, but it's an early 70s thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was thinking when I was watching, I'm surprised they managed to drag through till 77 with this crap. It's like people should have bailed out about 72, honestly, and said, enough. This is crap.
Well, you know, you get some interviews with people who did leave because, you know, there it began to be threatening to their offspring. But this movie, you know, the Source family, it never goes into Manson family territory where it gets like murderous or anything like that. But it's definitely in the this was a cult that was, you know,
it's more along the lines of the like the Branch Davidians of the early 90s with David Koresh. It's similar to that.
But whenever I watch documentaries about hippies, I'm filled with hatred towards boomers.
Oh yeah. Me too. I was like, you dirty bastards. God,
I just sit there and I'm sitting there thinking, oh man, the boomers are the worst generation ever, you know. But then I was thinking while watching this movie, Father Yod's not a boomer.
No. He was greatest generation. He was in World War II.
Yes. And I was thinking about, and then it kind of got me thinking about how a lot of the prototype hippies were not boomers. They were
stoned.
They were World War II greatest generation people. And, you know, the Hell's Angels, a lot of people, you know, don't know that the Hell's Angels were a gang of World War II veterans.
Mm-hmm.
Came home and just couldn't, you know, just work a job and raise a family. They were suffering from PTSD and needed intensity, so they were riding motorcycles.
And sold speed.
And they needed that gang. They wanted that gang lifestyle because it was like being in the military, you know? And the Hell's Angels are a big part of the hippie mythos, you know, Altamont Speedway and Hunter S. Thompson and whatever.
Yeah, if you look at them in the old clips and stuff, those are guys in their late 30s and stuff. They were in World War II.
They're not boomers. The boomers are the kids, you know, boomers are the kids in the equation. But the people that were the leaders, that were kind of the molders of the culture, were the greatest generation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was sort of, I mean, it's something I knew that there were problems there. But, you know, you think of the greatest generation as Tom Hanks in Saving Private Ryan.
Right.
But that's only a small piece of the puzzle. I mean, the greatest generation was where they laid the seeds in the ground for the boomer to, you know.
Right. Well, they built a super comfortable life in the suburbs, but didn't fall through with the responsibility of raising their kids with some obstacles, you know.
Well, and I feel like the greatest generation, there was a lot of trauma there.
Yeah.
It manifested itself in different ways. On the one hand, you have the Father Yods, Jim Baker, the head of the Source family, was in World War II, killed people, and then like kind of had this ne'er-do-well sort of white-collar criminal lifestyle before he became this religious.
Yeah, he was like, they believed he robbed banks, and he killed a guy in like a lover's quarrel situation in self-defense.
Two instances where he killed I mean, this guy was like the Terminator or something. Like he was like he killed people with his bare hands. You know, he karate chopped him in the neck several times.
Well, then you have the follow go, nobody could kick his ass, I can tell you that. He was just turns out he'd been like a jujitsu instructor in the army and stuff. And he had apparently auditioned for Tarzan, and there was like a shot of him in a Tarzan loincloth. He had auditioned for the Tarzan movies in the 50s, and you know, because he had that look. And he was a bodybuilder. I think he was tied up in the bodybuilding scene too.
Yeah, I think he just saw the fact that women out there in California are stone dumb, ready for some fun, and he's like, oh well, grow a long beard, grow long hair, and I'll become Father Yod. Yes.
It kind of started with he had this French girlfriend who was a lot younger than him.
A lot.
And she kind of got him into that hippie lifestyle. Like
his advantage of he saw a bit of a gold chest of gold with the hippie lifestyle that he could really inject his charisma into, since he couldn't make it into movies. Well, and he had that successful restaurant as well that was popular with all the celebrities.
Yeah, like they talked about Steve McQueen knew him.
Yeah.
And would come to the restaurant. And, you know, Steve McQueen's not a person I think of as a hippie.
No.
But I never would have thought Bob Mitchum was a pothead either.
Right. Well, you know? Steve McQueen hung out with bikers and stuff. And he was always known on movie sets to hang out with the stuntmen instead of the other actors. So he was kind of he was kind of a hippie. That you could find photos of him with the beard and the long hair and wearing the weird hippie clothing like Bruce Lee or dressed
yeah,
up like
it's,
John
it's
Lennon.
There. It's just it's not part of his movie persona the
right.
way
it was. Not his
like,
screen persona. His screen persona was working class man, and he was from the working class, but yeah. he was like working class, tough guy, cuts his hair short, that sort of thing.
Right. You know, but it's not like Peter Fonda or Dennis Hopper or one of these people where being a hippie was
was also their screen persona, and you know, even when they were in Westerns, they were basically playing hippies.
Right. Right. But, you know, Father Yod is kind of a example of the traumatized Greatest Generation person. There's the, you know, he's a person who, you know, has this insane lifestyle that goes through different phases after World War II. But also, you have your Hell's Angels, but you also just have these types that buried everything.
Mm-hmm.
And because they buried everything, they didn't talk about things.
Right.
And it hurt their kids, I think. I don't know.
Yeah,
and that's why you have boomers who are so confused about everything. Even if they are ostensibly on the right page about stuff, they still have all this confusion with how they look at stuff, you know. Even if they're like, you know, supposedly Catholic or Christian or whatever, they have this really hippie, weird version of it that they think about. That's not exactly
right. And there's, you know, you have to think that it's the World War II generation coming back to a world that's, you know, it's television, it's suburbia, it's a new thing. They may not have been quite ready for. Who knows? Mm. You know,
the monoculture.
It's quite a society tech jump from the 40s to the 60s. I mean, if you really look at that stuff, it gets a little crazy, you know.
Yeah, TV changed a lot. You know, you started to have more of a homogenous. It kind of ended the old weird America in a way, where everybody you start to see the sort of specificness of different regions of America erode.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about how specific the Source family is to California.
Yes.
It was born out of this, you know, this sort of health food movement, quote unquote, you know.
Right. And that started in like the 40s in places like Montana, I think, or whatever. Mm. It's the Bragg family I think the Braggs started in California. I should have looked them up before we did the show. But I know that Steve Reeves' mother – and he was World War II. His mother started like one of the first health food stores, I believe, in Montana or a place like that, where they moved to the Bay Area. And I think she opened a health food store. So that was sort of a new thing. Like, my guess is maybe in their magazine culture or media, there was an idea that these new processed, special, you know, easily prepared foods were considered possibly bad for you.
Yeah, because. You know, health food back then, you know, food goes through so many different trends.
Yeah.
But, you know, because Father Yod's father figure growing up was a guy who owned health food stores.
Yeah, it was the Bragg guy.
Yeah. And the health food, it seems like for them, was vegetarian. No meat.
Yeah.
No, it was almost vegan. Like, I don't know. I didn't really see any animal products in there either.
Just a bunch of dirty animals serving it.
Yeah, exactly. They all smelled like animals.
But. Well, you can see he's losing his muscle tone throughout the
photos. Yeah, you know, early on when you see pictures of him when he's younger, he's jacked. He looks like a kind of a B movie idol.
Yeah.
And he sort of transforms into the guy who paints happy trees.
Yeah.
And then he turns into a guy with long hair, a beard, and a pot belly. You know?
Right.
It should have been renamed.
That's
should have been called
lack of protein, animal protein.
It should have been called Father Atrophy instead of Father Yod.
Yeah.
Well, and I was thinking too, because the whole food is interesting to me, just in terms of what it does and what people think it does.
Yeah.
Because there's so much, you know, being somebody who's struggled with weight and has lost weight, there's so much bad information out there.
Yes.
And you look at all these old hippies in this movie that they're interviewing. They all look like husks. You know, they all look like old banana peels.
Yeah.
They do. And, you know, I was sitting there going, this, the way they were eating can't be great, you know? And I don't know. I think that there is something to,
but there wasn't
consuming
such a...
dead flesh.
No. It's not that. It's the case of, you look back in the 70s. I mean, even over here, like, you see pictures of my dad, my mom, they were thin as. Okay. My dad's heavier now, but the thing is, food became so overly processed with so much shit thrown into it. And the vast amount of fast food chains that came in, and you can pick up burgers anywhere, you can pick up sugary drinks everywhere.
So overly available, it's insane.
And I'm sorry, in America, too. In America, it's worse because you don't even have natural sugar in your sodas. You have...
That ended
in the 1980s.
Yeah, and that shit's awful.
Well, Nixon's head of food and agriculture or whatever, he basically decided that corn was going to be in everything. So,
thanks, Tricky Dick.
Yeah, I can't remember the guy's name. It was Butts, I think, was his name.
Butthead. Appropriate.
And that's the guy who ruined the way America eats. You know, it's weird. That generation of lawmakers, you had LBJ, you had Butts, you had all these people that just ruined everything.
They did. They really destroyed everything that was really terrific about America pre, like, 1964.
Yeah, I mean,
it's stunning. Yeah. I mean, we're lucky we got the moon landing. We're lucky we got that.
If that exists.
That's true.
Well, Stanley Kubrick tried to tell us in The Shining that the moon landing was fake.
Yeah.
But so, John, you picked this movie. What was what kind of jumped out at you about it? What made you
I first heard about this. I watched this documentary last winter. I was listening to Donovan quite a bit, and I related this.
Oh, Donovan's in this.
and I related this personal issue to Stu, and he was telling me his, you know, with Donovan stuff he was listening to and everything. And because I'm a big Donovan fan, but I found out he hosted this documentary in the 70s called Aliens from Planet Earth, and it was on Amazon Prime, and I watched it. And I thought it'd be like Donovan talking about UFOs. No, it's Donovan talking about cults. And almost in a positive way, as if they were coming up with all these really, you know, man, it's a new way of thinking and everything. And I saw that there was a segment on Father Yod and the Source Family, more than what you see in this documentary, because they do include that clip of Donovan talking. But I was like, Father Yod? How weird. This is so bizarre. So I Googled it, and his story was fascinating. And then I found out, oh, there's a documentary called The Source Family, and it's on Amazon Prime. So I was like, hey, rock and roll. So I watched that, and I was blown away, or, you know, at least highly interested in the story. So I'm fascinated by cults because I'm such a kind of a loner personality, and I'm very big on individuality, and it's fascinating to me that people just give up everything to join these cults. I don't understand the mindset at all.
It's one of those things where you go, you know, it seems like it's a lot of people who lack, I don't know, I think people go one of two ways when they don't have strong father figures or mother figures. They either become highly individualistic like you, or they need a highly structured group.
Yeah, they got one way
that has
the
answers. Because I mean, the Source Family is a cult of personality around Father Yod. It's a religion that's built around him, you know. And it's no shock that after he died that it fell apart. It seems like with cults, it attracts a very specific type of person with very specific traumas. And people, I think, go in several different ways when they have these traumas. And you know, the Father Yod, the cult direction is one of them. And that cult can be Jehovah's Witnesses, you know?
Yes.
It can be
Mormons or
Mormons, you know, very structured.
One comparison I brought up to this Father Yod was the character of Burt Reynolds in Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
They sort of have this small family.
Father figure.
Yeah.
The father group.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Obviously, Burt Reynolds' character of Jack Horner wasn't into the whole spirituality stuff, but he was into something else, which, as we know, Father Yod was as well. You weren't seeing it on the screen. You know, it was still behind closed doors. But it just, I don't know, just sort of reminded me of that a little bit.
Yeah. No, I think that's true. And I think, you know, I think pornography has a certain pull for that type of person as well. You know,
he just said he pulled in pornography.
Well, you know, that girls that, you know, are traumatized a lot, you know, you don't see a lot of just healthy, normal women in pornography. They're all screwed up.
Yeah. Despite how many of them tell you they have master's degrees in biology or marine biology or whatever.
astrophysics. And the media goes insane whenever there's a porn star that can string a sentence together. They always talk about how smart they are and how interesting and tell, like Sasha Gray or whatever.
It's Lisa, like, Ann.
These people are morons. You know,
there's nothing there. Just because you speak well, it doesn't mean you have anything to say.
Just because you've seen some Godard films does not make you, you know, some art house, the thinking man's porn star.
Right. Well, the funny thing about Father Yod is I thought, you know, if he had just taken a few less yoga classes and had, say, taken a job starring in peplums in Italy in the 1950s, and then come back over and probably would have gotten into pornography and been like a Burt Reynolds character in Boogie Nights. Because he obviously had that power over people and probably had a pimp-type personality. It doesn't come off in the clips, but you could tell it's probably there. Well, especially when they mention all the underage women that were joining this cult, and it's like, oof, you know.
Yeah, it's very 70s because, you know, that type of degenerate behavior was seemingly acceptable in a
highly life. Permissible. Iggy Pop had a 13-year-old girlfriend, Steven Tyler, Ted Nugent,
Jerry Lee Lewis. I mean,
God knows how many underage girls the members of KISS fucked.
And also think about Hollywood in general at that time. Uh-huh. You know, it's just Roman Polanski was the one guy they threw the book at. You know,
exactly, because he was a foreigner.
He was a foreigner. He's expendable. France. So yeah, let's make an example of him. But not that I condone what he did, no fucking way.
No. But he was the one. I mean, but this was something a lot of people were doing.
That's right.
Polanski was the one that he was the sacrificial. He was the one they decided to make an example of. But you know, we know for a fact, like Jimmy Page had like 13-year-old girlfriends. Yep. It's just you know, really repugnant stuff. You know, and it's rampant in this movie. There's a lot of people interviewed who were underage and clearly were sexually active in this cult. And
sexually active? Are you kidding me? There was one picture or a few pictures where there's just a row of women with pregnant stomachs everywhere. It's like,
yeah.
Father Yod's getting around, man, I tell you.
And, you know, I forgot where I was going with this, but but
there was sexually active, but they're all fucking ugly as well.
These women who are, you know, married or something, and Father Yod will say, I think you need to be with this person.
Yeah, you need to be with Mercury.
You need to be with Mercury. Yeah. And they would, you know, basically reassign them to be with someone else. And they when they're interviewed about this, they talk about it like it's, oh, you know, he told me to go to the store and get some eggs. You know?
I often suspect maybe they were just a bunch of people who didn't have any game in the dating world in Los Angeles. And
well, I kind of thought, you know, some guy was going, oh, I don't have anybody. And Father Yad was like, let me, I got you, fam.
I got you. I do want to bring up something I noticed. I don't know if you guys did. I want to say this. The greatest slogan I've ever seen written on a wall before was Billy Idol for life, bitches, okay.
Yeah.
Until I saw in this one, Santa Claus is God written on the wall.
That yeah, might be the best.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, all right.
Whatever. I about fell out when I saw the photo of him dressed, decked up like a pimp with the Rolls Royce.
Yeah, yeah.
He looked like Superfly or something, you know.
Yeah, I was sitting there looking at that going, all right, guess he's taken on, this is the next phase here.
Yeah, he's clearly enjoying the money. And then, funny thing was, I actually ordered a family CD that was available.
Okay. Yeah. I was about to say, let's talk about the music now.
Yeah.
I just wanted to bring up one thing about the music before we do it. Before I forget. Do you think, just a suggestion now, do you think next year for Rock Month we should do Father Yod?
Maybe, dude. I mean, the stuff I was hearing, I got to admit, I didn't hate it. I mean, some of it was kind of repetitive, but some of it I was like, shoot, I'd listen to this.
That's like David Koresh. When you listen to some of David Koresh's stuff, you think, shit, he's not bad.
Yeah, it's heavy.
Yeah.
You know, the Source Family music was heavy. I was going,
No, it's like the MC5 jamming with Sun Ra with a bit less talent, but it's listenable. It's crazy, you know.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, it's psychedelic acid rock, but
I love all that stuff. The more obscure and in up, you know, like the more I enjoy it. It's wacky stuff, and you know, so the one CD I got is pretty interesting, and I'm going to eventually like collect other stuff because it's fascinating.
I think this movie has a soundtrack disc you can get. I think.
Oh, it probably does. Yeah, that's probably got the best compilation.
Yeah, I'm sure the filmmakers picked the cream of the crop.
So, Hunter, right, you ever saw...
Drag City got the rights to their music, so Drag City has put out a few CDs.
Oh, yeah, Drag City is a cool label. So,
So Hunter, if you ever saw a Father Yod album at half price, would you pick it up?
Yeah, I would.
Oh, God. I fucking quit. I'm out of here. I've had enough of this.
Well, it depends on how much it is, you know, because that's...
It was like, say, $5. Say it was like $5.
$5? Oh, heck yeah, I'd get it.
You earn too much money, man. Seriously. You earn too much.
It's the type of stuff Jello Biafra would find in the...
Oh, yeah, it's the type of stuff that people who say, hey, a band called Death, is you need to check them out, you know? That type of stuff that people who love obscure bands like Comus, people who like Comus, check out.
Well, we know Billy Corgan's a fan of Father Yod.
I know. I saw Billy Corgan show up going, it's so deep and blah, blah. I was like, shut up, Billy.
I know, really.
Go talk about Rush some more. Go talk about Entree News.
He listens to that after he watches wrestling for like 4 hours.
I listen to Father Yod while I do DDP yoga.
It was actually pronounced Father Yod, which got me thinking. Yod. Yeah, you don't think it was Lucas. Yeah, I was going to say, you think Lucas might have seen this and thought, Yod, ah.
Yod, oh. Fatherly
figure.
I don't know, dude.
Who came out with Yoda? Was it Lucas or Lee Brackett?
Well, somebody.
Lee Brackett. It's definitely.
And Lee Brackett was based out of Southern California. She might have grown something.
And she seems like the type who would hang out with these kinds of hippies, you know?
Just to make fun of them?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, she wrote Rio Bravo, so she's cool as.
Right. She wrote The Big Sleep. She wrote all these Howard Hawks movies, and, you know.
Can we just stop a second and just say Howard Hawks is probably the coolest director ever?
I was going to say the same thing about James Whale, actually.
James Whale is super cool, but Howard Hawks, man, that guy could do anything.
You know? I just watched The Old Dark House last night. Fucking hell, man. James Whale's insane.
Old Dark House, I mean, it's basically Cat and the Canary.
Yeah.
But The Old Dark House is basically Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah, I get the restoration out. I need to check it out.
I have the Coen Media Blu-ray of Old Dark House.
I got Master Cinema one through Anthony sent it to me, and it was like, holy shit, it looks fucking unreal.
Oh, shit.
No, James Whale, I mean, Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein, Invisible Man... Old Dark House.
Guy's insane. Fuck, he's good, James Whale.
Yeah. The Invisible Man, you know.
It's still my favorite Universal horror movie, you know, monster movie, quote unquote, ever, is The Invisible Man. Love it. Can watch it anytime.
And Bride of Frankenstein, you know, is endlessly entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. You think he compares to Rob Zombie?
I don't know, dude. He doesn't say F as much as Rob Zombie does.
Need some titty bar. violence.
Is Frankenstein mad because he's a monster, or is it because his mom was a stripper? I don't know.
You never know. It was Germany.
Oh, yeah, it was Weimar.
18th century, carny girl.
Or was Frankenstein mad because he listened to Kiss's God of Thunder, maybe?
Oh.
Yeah, maybe.
No, it's Frankenstein was mad because he was disappointed by music from The Elder. It's the movie never came out.
Yeah, there's a lot of Frankensteins running around then, I guess.
But I don't know. Howard Hawks is one that I'm just... Every time I see a movie of his, it just knocks me back.
Only problem is, you'll notice by the 70s with Howard Hawks, he was just an old man, and he was making movies like it was still 1951.
But even something like Rio Lobo, I appreciate the effort to...
Yeah, it's an adequate movie, but it's not even as good as Big Jake.
It's not, but I mean, what was it? This producer, Mike Ryan... that I worked with, his wife produced The Sopranos.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ryan told me every time they would wrap a season, he'd go to the wrap party with his wife, and Peter Bogdanovich would be there.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, Bogdanovich, you know, he comes from this generation where people like Hawks were not respected. So he always felt like he had to defend his crummy late-period movies.
Is this the same time that Bogdanovich would just pick up the same argument a year later or something?
Yeah. I've told this story on the show before, I'm sure. Mm. But he said he would get into these arguments with him where he would go, look, Howard Hawks and Vincent Minnelli's late-period films are not that good. And Bogdanovich would go, you're wrong. You know, these movies are great and blah, blah, blah. And they would get into arguments about it. And he said every year at the rap party, Bogdanovich would hone in on him and come over and just pick up right where they left off.
he could have just zapped him out by just saying, hey, you were fired off Duck, You Sucker. That's all he had to say.
Well,
fired you because you were inept.
I watched two Orson Welles documentaries today. I watched Battle Over Citizen Kane and The Magician.
Mm-hmm.
And in both of them, Bogdanovich is in them, because anytime you mention Orson Welles, Bogdanovich has to. I mean, the guy's career is basically being Orson Welles' friend at this point.
Right.
And I told my wife, I said, that's Peter Bogdanovich. He's made a career out of being Orson Welles' buddy.
And doing commentaries for other films.
Yeah. No, Bogdanovich, actually, he was writing a lot about classic movies before he started directing them, but
he had this major studio career that just zapped out. It just petered out by 1980.
You know, he did Last Picture Show. He did Targets with Karloff.
Didn't he do Paper Moon?
Yes, he did. He did Paper Moon. He did
that was huge.
What's Up, Doc? Is gold.
Yeah,
that is like the best tribute to Howard Hawks ever done.
Uh-huh.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. So.
Oh, you got. Oh, let's do it on the show.
Oh, another one added to the list. Okay, no worries.
It's a tribute to like Bringing Up Baby and His Girl Friday and stuff like that.
Okay.
I gotta find
a copy.
Oh, we gotta do it. It's so good.
All right. Well, it's like I saw They All Laughed. Like I sat through that because it was one of those Big Lots DVDs that was like $2. And I watched that. It was just pathetic and sad. And I was just like, why does this guy have a career? I don't even get it. But, you know, I haven't really sat through The Last Picture Show. I watched Paper Moon when I was a kid, just because it was a big popular film.
Here it's good.
Yeah.
But What's Up, Doc? That's my favorite movie he's done by many miles.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think I saw Targets when I was young. Like Targets. USA.
Targets is a neat. That's a really good low budget movie.
Yeah.
He also did he did the Rocky Dennis movie Mask.
Oh God, so many times it played on cable endlessly back in 1985.
I think we're breaking one of Father Yod's commandments, like thou shalt not talk about Peter Bogdanovich for too long.
Oh, okay, but before we go, let's mention Bogdanovich did put Burt Reynolds in a musical.
Okay.
At Long Last Love.
No, never seen it.
It was recorded live. Everybody.
All I know is he was fired from DuckYouSuck. Sergio Leone fired. He was supposed to direct it, and then Sergio Leone fired him.
And I think he also put Burt Reynolds in Nickelodeon. But yeah, Sergio Leone did fire Bogdanovich from DuckYouSuck. But anyway, but What's Up, Doc? Is terrific. Anyway. But yeah, we've been talking about Bogdanovich too much. Not enough about the Source family. Stuart, you haven't said too much about this film. What were some thoughts you had about it?
First off, I was angry at John about halfway through, going, "I gotta fucking watch this shit about hippies." I don't like hippies at all. I actually really despise hippies quite a bit.
Oh,
I do too. I don't like them either.
The older I get, the more horrific, the more visceral my reaction is to them.
I was kind of hoping.
I think this movie justifies hatred of hippies.
Oh, it does.
They're fucking stupid.
Yeah. I don't consider it an advertisement for their cult, which is dead anyway. It's like, you know.
No, it's because everybody watches this. You know, I don't think the filmmakers are trying to be overly critical of it.
Right.
I simply think they're trying to tell an accurate journalistic story.
Yeah, the negative stuff seeps out anyway.
The movie doesn't feel like it has an axe to grind. It doesn't feel like it is trying to push a point of view on any of this. You're going to feel, if you're not totally bought into this stuff already, you're probably going to feel pretty repulsed, and you're probably going to think these people are total weirdos.
They are.
But the movie doesn't go out of its way to demonize or glorify. It doesn't try to glorify them anyway. It just kind of lets these people talk.
Yeah.
And that's something I appreciated about it, was that it's sort of, I thought it was pretty balanced. It wasn't trying to manipulate me, really.
Hang on, you're asking me for an opinion, but you Yanks keep fucking talking all the time.
sorry, I know.
Keep going, mate. Keep going.
You gave me some good talking points, so I ran with it. But go ahead.
Yanks. Anyway, so I was halfway through. I'm like, it's interesting, but I'm just sick of looking at hippies. I really am tired of looking at them. But by the end, it was an interesting watch. Probably one that I would recommend people go and see. Don't actively go and seek out. Like, don't spend your day looking for it somewhere. But, you know, if it's on, what did you say, Amazon Prime, is it?
Yeah, Amazon Prime has it.
If you've got it, you know, I mean, it's there. Give it a watch. You can you probably do worse than that. It's good to see the failings of Father Yod unravel before your eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, there was some moments in where I thought, huh? What?
Well, so something I thought was interesting, you said the unraveling of Father Yod.
Hmm.
Okay, because at a certain point, you know, Father Yod's personality cult kind of spins out of control. It starts out that he's sort of, a guru who would never have his picture above the fireplace. Well, eventually the picture ends up above the fireplace.
And it ends up in that buddy French woman's hands, just holding it all throughout the whole fucking documentary. I'm like, woman, let it go. He's a charlatan, man. He's a fraud.
Well, and another thing, the movie doesn't harp on this point as much as it probably should have. But you know, when you join the cult, you gave up all your possessions to it, meaning you gave all your wealth to Father Yod.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, a lot of it does go into, it's the commune lifestyle, right? You know, these people are all sharing stuff. But at the end of the day, it's Father Yod, you know, kind of, you're giving him all your stuff. He gets it.
He was smart. Yeah. He was smart this way. I'll say this because I did give him plaudits for this as I was watching it. He got the women's confidence and their attention and everything. So he was married to that one woman, right, the French lady. And then as soon as he knew he had them under his spell, I was like, I'm going to take another wife. And
that's how it worked with Joseph Smith, you know, the Mormon guy. He was, you know, he started this big thing, and eventually he went, hey, I'm taking more wives.
Yeah. I mean, had he said straight away as he started up this Source family cult, wherever it is, oh, I'm going to take 13 wives, they would have said, fuck you, you're... you're a fraud. Yeah, even hippie chicks aren't that dumb. Well, they shouldn't be. But, yeah, he gained their confidence, and then after a couple of years, 2-3 years, he's like, I'll take another wife. And you, over here, come over here, we're getting married now.
Well,
Papa Lazaru in The League of Gentlemen, just collecting wives all the time.
Well, so his cult grows. Like, eventually, okay, he says, you know, I'm taking multiple wives. And eventually he has, like, an entourage of young women following him around. Like, that was kind of interesting, where his wife said, he goes, you're not allowed to call me honey anymore.
Oh, no. What an asshole. Seriously.
So it grows. Then eventually he starts saying, I'm God.
Oh, right? I know. That was awful.
Yeah, he says, like, eventually, you know, Father Yod declares he's God. Well, they decide they're going to move to this island. And they sell everything in California, and they move to this. It's where's the island? It's in the Pacific somewhere. It's in like
They went to Hawaii. Hawaiian islands.
Hawaiian island.
Kauai was what one of them?
Kauai. Yeah, it was Kauai. So they go to Kauai, and they think they're going to start this utopian, you know, spa regenerative place where they all go and. They're all going to farm, and they're going to have a spa that customers come to. It's going to be super high end, but it becomes a nightmare. Like, the locals shoot up their place, and they think they're a Manson cult. And
right, it showed how Charles Manson really ruined the reputation of all those hippie cults.
when
they tried to branch out somewhere else.
you hear a lot of boomers talk about, you know, that Manson was the end of the 60s, and they're right, because the hippies became kind of, oh, you're a Mansonite, you know. So they move out to this new location, and it doesn't go well, you know. It and that's when Father Yod starts to say, I'm not God, I'm just a man, da 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 da, and that's when it all starts to fall apart.
And he becomes suicidal, basically.
Yeah, no, he basically commits suicide.
Yeah, that was a suicide. I watched it a second time Saturday for the show, and I was like, oh, well, he was committing suicide.
Yeah, he was committing suicide in a very theatrical and showman-like way. I mean, it was suicide.
It's basically a Monty Python movie type.
Oh, it really is. It's like a... like Eric Idle skit.
Yeah. I'm going to hang glide, but I'm not taking any lessons. And then they go right, you know, off.
Oh, yeah. It's totally a Monty Python sketch death. It is. But, boys, I just thought of something now. I want to bring up another conspiracy theory. So we had Yod, as in potential Yoda as well. What about Zod from Superman? All right?
Well, Zod was not in the comic books, but...
No.
Depends on what screenwriter came up with him, you know, if it was somebody on the West Coast. Because the Newmans contributed to that script, or whatever, Mario Puzo, if he put General Zod in his script, but it's unlikely. I think that the name is somehow comparable to old mythology, like Babylonian stuff.
No, John, don't ruin it, John. Don't ruin my theory, because I just spent about 5 minutes thinking about it. All right? So
Terrence Stamp did join like some sort of yoga cult in the 60s or
70s. My God, there's a guy in the film here, Omni, whatever stupid name was. Looked like Terrence Stamp as well.
Yeah, I thought so too. That guy who there's this dude who looks like Terrence Stamp who lives. He's like a doomsday prepper.
Yeah.
Oh my God, he's the guy.
Compound, like his own water he pumps and chickens and stuff.
He's the same guy, right? Who said, "Oh, I've got 2 years of food squirreled away, but I'm not telling you where it is." I'm like, no one gives
tell
a fuck
you where it's like.
No one cares where you're storing your fucking Band-Aids and peanuts, mate. We don't care. Help yourself.
We're gonna go steal your food supply.
Yeah,
so we
really
can have. When the bombs go off, give me a break. How cheap food is in this country? Oh my God.
Oh, there's some messed up people in this thing. And that childbirth, man. Like, I've seen childbirth many times with my children, but
I've seen No Better Blues. Spike Lee showed me what it looks like.
Yeah, I didn't need to see a fucking meat pie coming out of a woman's vagina. Seriously.
Yeah. I thought it was strange they documented as much as they did.
Yeah, this is. I was watching this at the gym, and I was kind of going,
about to toss up your egg rolls onto the elliptical.
Looking around, going, hey.
Well, hey. Spare a thought. You watched it on your iPhone, yes, on a small screen.
Yeah.
Right. I watched it on the big screen in the theater room. So
that's cool.
that child
birth movies on my big screen all the time. Just this one, I was It was on Prime.
No, but what I'm saying is the effect of the vision of the childbirth on an iPhone screen is a bit drastic compared to watching on an 11-foot screen.
No, yeah, it's
there's
probably
a slight difference in power there, Hunter.
Yeah,
true.
Visual power.
That's true.
But yeah. Oh boy, I don't know what to make of this bloody thing.
Well, did you notice that I felt like, you always hear things, they take drugs and they get brainwashed. No, I think they're very willing to go into that before they get into the drugs. Because that one guy says, I met him and I got down and kissed his feet. He totally wanted, they were all looking for a guru.
Of course they were.
Yeah, they're just mentally that way. That's the type of people that join these cults. They want to join something like that.
Mm.
Long before they're eating the brown acid.
And some of those exercises they were doing and shit was like, this is ridiculous.
Well, it's what you can get those scrawny vegans to do.
Yeah, there was the inhaling of the sacred herb.
That's right. Yeah.
Right.
And their commandments are like, we don't do drugs.
Yeah, but there's a
plate. We inhale the sacred herb. That's not a drug.
Yeah, we don't do drugs, but there's a plate of magic mushrooms on the table. Yeah, okay, no worries.
But okay, speaking of not doing drugs, there's also the issue of not taking drugs. And I was thinking about this while watching the movie. A lot of cults, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, leap to mind, or they are very strict about what kind of medical attention you can seek. Mm-hmm. And that one guy says he left the cult because his kid got an ear infection and it almost killed him. And he said he wanted to get antibiotics, but it was against the beliefs of the cult. So he said he left because he, was worried his kid was going to die.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that going, why is, what's the deal with seeking medical attention? And then I was kind of thinking about the nature of government and how a lot of government policy is designed to erode the family and make you dependent on the government for whatever you need, erode religion, erode government for, erode the family so that you're dependent on the government. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking that a cult kind of has a similar policy, which is we're going to erode these outside institutions. Mm-hmm. The medical community or whatever is forbidden because it's a control thing. We want you to be dependent on the cult for your needs, and the medical institution is an outside form of help and support you can get that takes control away from the cult. And what you need to do is kind of get people dependent on you. Even if your solutions and your remedies are total nonsense, it's a way of maintaining control. And that's kind of what I was thinking about.
Like L. Ron Hubbard in Scientology?
Absolutely. Scientology, that's a great example, Stu. I'm glad you brought that up. Because Scientology is one where it's built around, there are these other people that, people generally go to for help with certain things. Well, you don't go to them. You go to us.
Yeah.
What is it with a Christian scientist? Like they don't,
they don't take medicine. My mom said she had a friend when she was a kid who was Christian scientist, and she, thought my mom was evil for taking Advil,
Yeah, I think Val Kilmer is actually still very loyal to that religion. And
there have been a lot of rumors about Kilmer that he's had cancer and stuff and won't seek treatment for it and stuff.
Well, his voice is all messed up, and he claims he's beaten the cancer, but he's trying to recover his voice. But he gave an interview a year ago with that Donald Duck voice he has, and he still has it. He's not going to get his voice back if that's the case. And I think he's dubbed in some new direct-to-video movie he made. So
sometimes voice stuff can be weird and neurological. Yeah. My dad, his voice changed. It got very weak a few years ago. And he was on a trip with my church, and a doctor on the trip was listening to my dad talk, and he went, "You should go see a doctor. You could have something very seriously wrong with you." And my dad got kind of scared, and he came back from the trip. He went to the doctor, and fortunately, nothing was seriously wrong, but he had a neurological problem, and my dad's been going to, you know, vocal therapy for this problem he has. It's something wrong with it. It's hard to explain. Like, whenever I'm like, "What's wrong with your voice, Dad?" He's like, he explains it, and I still don't understand. You know?
Well, it's like Al Pacino when Sea of Love came out. I went and watched it with Rob. I go, "What the fuck happened to Pacino's voice?"
But you know who had something similar happen was the lead singer of Cinderella, Tom Kiefer.
Oh, Tom Kiefer. Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah, he said just one day he couldn't sing. He said it was like,
Yeah, that was back in 1986.
Yeah, exactly. Boom! Zing!
And then he turned the Who's squeeze box into, you know, Shake Me All Night or whatever the hell he did.
Oh, Shake Me,
they had some song that was a complete lift of squeeze box. It was hysterical. And, yeah, on Opie and Anthony, on the old Opie and Anthony show, Opie was playing it. He goes, "I love this Cinderella tune. This is pretty good." And then Anthony started singing Squeezebox to the music, and it fit in perfectly.
Oh, really?
Like, oh, shit.
I never heard that one.
It was hilarious.
Tom Kiefer said he was told he may never be able to sing again. And he said it took a lot of voice therapy and stuff for him to get his singing voice back. So
Tom Kiefer, a good friend of mine. Known him since the role started.
Yeah. Hey, Tom.
Just got a text from Tom Kiefer because he can't talk. But it's like, you know, communicating anyway. Talk.
We're going to hear the story from Tom Kiefer. You know, he went through something really terrible with his voice. It's really bad. Right,
are we going to have to do a show called Trunk Posting where we just rip on Eddie Trunk for like an hour?
Well, let's come back in the group. Was it Patrick DeLille, I think, was posting?
Yeah, he posted it. Because I mentioned I was reading the Sammy Hagar autobiography, and of course, naturally, your Eddie Trunk jokes are going to come back. I asked for it. I didn't even think about it when I put it up there. I was like, oh, no, we're going to be Trunk Posting.
Yep. Yeah, then it's like, hey, I'm eating food, CDs.
Never drunk.
I'm friends with the guys from Y&T.
God, I'm actually going to painfully probably listen to that podcast this week.
Actually, I should say the guy from Y&T. Everybody else in that band.
No, I was going to say the rest of them are sort of dead.
Yeah, it's just Dave Menichetti now.
Yeah, when I saw him, it was Dave Menichetti and the Y&Ts. You know.
Yeah. Well, I got to see him with Phil Kennemore for about a year before.
Oh, really? Oh, nice one.
Yeah, I did. I did get to see them at the Camel Rock Casino in New Mexico near Santa Fe.
Good show, was it?
It was fantastic. Yeah. Phil Kennemore, I had no idea, you know, he was going to be with us, you know, just a couple of years later. But they were real nice. They did the autographs after the show, and they were cool to talk to and everything. And
I can't see Y&T ever putting on a bad show. I can't fathom the idea.
Because I saw them after Phil's death. Here locally, just a couple of years back, and still good, still a good show. I didn't care much for the venue, but you know, it was a nightclub or bar, and but they put on a great show, great sound and everything, crystal clear.
Menichetti, man, that guy can rip on the guitar. Fuck, he's
one of the underrated ones. Totally underrated.
Yeah, he was. All right, you boys got anything else about General Yod, Father Yod? Sorry.
I'll go ahead and rate this documentary. It's a 6 out of 10 for me. I think it's a good watch. I mean, being a person who finds different religions interesting, especially
even name.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah. Whatever. I'll
from a study perspective, but but weird. Like, I gotta say, when it comes to religion, the very specifically American kind of cult-like religions that have come out of this country, like Scientology, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, stuff like that. All that stuff is really interesting to me because it's so bizarre. And the hippie cults are, you know, also interesting in their own way, even though they're, you know, probably the most theologically shallow cults in the world.
Well, I should ask, Hunter, is America unique for having these cults? Like, do they ever come out of European countries or even Australia in Stu's neck of the woods?
Stu, are there any crazy cults? I mean, I know there's been some. I feel like
there was one I believe that I know of back in the, I think the mid to late 80s. I've forgotten the name, but I remember seeing one only. That's all I've ever heard of. Have you guys familiar with the Orange People at all?
No,
you mean Donald Trump's family? Orange Man Bad?
Thank you, NPC.
There is a cult in California called the Purple People or something, like the Purple Cult. Like, everything is purple. I'm not even joking. Like, they really existed. Like, all their houses were purple or something. It was strange.
It's expensive to produce. It's purple.
It's funny because in the movie Alvin Purple, where he's deemed as like a sex god, there's all these followers called Purple People. So
I gotta get a copy of that.
It may even be on the list. I reckon. I really want to talk about that. Okay. Elvin Rides Again, not so much. But Alvin Purple's an interesting piece for its time.
Okay.
Yeah.
But no, I think Mormonism. Mormons were kind of born out of this period in America where the West was untamed.
Mm-hmm.
And, there were a lot of these sort of power mad people that came out of it. Like, the guy who guided the Donner Party, he wanted to start a new country out there, and there's a lot of, and he ended up starting this, Confederate colony in Brazil.
All right.
It still kind of persists to this day. That's a period in American history, the period before the Civil War, around the Mexican War, that I think is so fascinating because there were so many different, these charismatic, weird, would-be cult leader figures that sprouted up that tried to basically start new countries out there. And Joseph Smith was definitely one of those people. And, there is something kind of uniquely American about maybe the cult. I don't know if it's unique to America because there have been weird religious sects in other countries, but I think there's a specifically American flavor to a cult. And that would be because, America was kind of built by sort of weirdo Protestants coming over here,
Didn't want a normal government or monarchy or whatever, oligarch.
Yeah, they did. They wanted to sort of do their own weird snowflake version of Christianity.
Yeah. Jefferson Bible, man. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm surprised there wasn't a cult built around that.
Wasn't that the band that Grace Slick was in?
Yeah. Oh,
okay. That should have been, like, they did Christian rock for the money because they didn't make enough off the shitty music they did in the late 80s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Starship.
It's like that song,
Built the City.
That song, White Rabbit, is just racist, man, because why is it going to be a white rabbit?
Exactly.
Why
can't
it be like Black Rabbit? Yeah.
Should have been a brown bunny.
There you go.
Vincent Gallo put it in his...
Vincent Gallo, there's a guy who needs to start a cult.
Could have been. He wanted to play Charles Manson a few times, and there were some projects in the works. Then, now he's too old.
What would you call the cult? Prince Vince?
Yeah, exactly. He's the guy who sent Ice-T packing to L.A. because he destroyed him in a rap battle.
Yeah. Prince Vince wrecked him. John, what would you give The Source Family?
I give it a 6.5. It's pretty enjoyable and informative and an interesting look at that time. I tell you, the rest of America really thought California was just the golden state and that's where your dreams came through and everything. And also, I would say if you watch the Netflix show Wild Wild Country, which was about a cult that goes into a northwestern town and basically wreaks havoc fighting with the locals, where they end up poisoning the water supply and such. If you watch that on Netflix, that's an interesting companion piece to this. I watched both around the same time, and I strongly recommend Wild Wild Country. Because I, even as a kid, I remember when the Bhagwan Rajneesh was a big deal in the headlines and a joke on Carson. But the Source Family thing's pretty interesting, and you know, it's just a weird look at a really strange time that I don't think can happen again. But man, it's something else. It's bizarre.
Well, and I have to recommend that if you go to the Source Family restaurant, get the plate of mashed yeast.
As Bruce Willis would say, "Fucking California, man."
California, yeah. California. There's that. They show that scene from Annie Hall where Woody Allen goes, "Yeah, so get the sprouts and a plate of mashed yeast."
Yes.
So I was
wondering if that was the actual restaurant. So,
it looked like it. I was.
Yeah, it might have been.
In 77, is it still even going, that place, or what?
I think it was still in operation. It's something I'd have to sort through all these blog posts. And by the way, one ex-Source Family member has kind of gone rogue on them and is criticizing them heavily and her blog pieces, and they're lengthy, exhaustive reads, and she takes apart some of the stuff presented in the documentary and everything.
Who is that?
It's because that widow is controlling the music, and I guess they feel like the musicians deserve proper royalties for the music being released and such. It's all sorts of, you know, it's a whole maze of crazy stuff going on. But yeah, some of the old members are feuding online and everything.
Oh, great. I will say that the woman who was named Isis might want to change it pretty quickly.
Yeah, I don't think it's too trendy. Change it to, you know.
ISIL
instead, yeah.
ISIL, yes, ISIL, exactly.
Because it's not recognized as a state.
Or Al-Qaeda, that's kind of out of vogue now. I think it's safe to use.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Or if she was fat, she could be called Bin Laden.
Yes.
Oh, never mind. I'll give this 6.5 as well.
Stu, what would you give the movie?
I just said 6.5. Oh, you didn't hear me.
Oh, you said 6. I wasn't listening.
6.5.
I tune you out.
Yeah. Recommend watching Wild Wild Country. I think, actually, both of you guys are probably enjoy
it. So further viewing Wild Wild Country.
Yeah, definitely. It's a series on Netflix. I thought it was great. It's the best thing I'd seen on Netflix as far as original series went.
Is it anything like Wild Wild Life by Talking Heads?
No, nothing like that.
Okay.
Or is anything like...
I don't understand their popularity. So.
Anything like Happy Days with Chachi going, wah, wah, wah.
Oh, you could have used that. There's only footage of Carson making fun of the Bhagwan Rajneesh.
There's your real orange people right there. All right. I think we're done, boys.
I think we're done. Yeah.
Sure.
Good stuff.
Check it out. It's on Amazon Prime. Totally worth catching. You can probably find it at other sources. It did, huh? It did play theaters as well, the usual.
Yeah, it did. I remember it played at the Texas Theater. I remember seeing the poster when it came out and going, this looks wild, and looking it up, and I saw it at a soundtrack, and I went, oh, it's about a cult. I'll watch it someday. And that day came years later. So
yeah, check out Drag City's website. I think they're still selling their music, at least on vinyl. So
yeah,
ding 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 ding. Hunter just his ears just pricked up.
Yeah. Can't play it in your car though. Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I was already thinking about it when I when I saw this movie, I was going, I gotta look up the soundtrack. I don't wanna hunt down the collectible stuff because no thank you, but
right.
I think it's better
to have a cherry pick compilation. Like the soundtrack might be the better way to go.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, you know, because I would just want the music. I don't need to collect the
teachings. You don't need the teachings of Father
the old artifacts, you know.
Yeah.
No. I just want to say real quick before we go that yesterday I sat down, about yesterday lunchtime, and watched The Exorcist 2 again. Because we were talking about The Exorcist 3 on the last episode. But I watched the 103-minute cut that comes with the 2-disc Scream Factory one. Again, from Anthony. Cheers, brother. And I'll tell you what, while still not a great movie, it makes a lot more sense than it does the standard theatrical cut that's out there, which is the 118-minute version, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So it sucks, but it makes sense instead of sucking and not making sense.
I wouldn't say it sucks. I think the tagline of the worst sequel ever is now removed if you watch that cut.
I have to say, because The Exorcist 2, it's up there as far as worst movies I've ever seen. You know, I would put that in the top 10 worst movies I've ever sat.
I think Kingsman 2 is starting to give Exorcist 2.
Kingsman 2.
I just bought that as well. I haven't seen it.
Kingsman 2
is awful.
It's a terrible film.
My wife and I saw it in the theater full of children. Children! John.
I might give it to you.
If you've seen Kingsman 2, you will know that that is appalling from a parenting
yeah.
I was just going to say, if it's no good, I'll give it to my kid, but if not, I'll just have to go.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
Keep it far away from the children.
Jeez, I want to let my kid watch Ready Player One.
If you saw Kingsman and you said this movie needs to have a leading role with Elton John as himself, you might like it.
Yeah.
I got no idea what you're on about, but now I'm curious. All right.
You're curious, I mean, I'm not going to tell you not to watch it. You should probably watch it.
Don't worry. Stu's going to troll us next week.
I
thought it was pretty good, mate. What's wrong with you? You know? Just have a beer and watch it, and it's great.
It's great. I was listening.
Elton was at the top of his skill. I don't know what you're talking about. What are you going on about?
Elton John hasn't gotten over Everton beating Watford in the 84 FA Cup. He's still traumatized by that.
I would say Elton John is actually one of the highlights of the movie.
That's actually probably the only thing I call fondly about.
That and one character singing a John Denver song.
Yeah, all right, thank you, buddy. Movie away, please. All right.
Part's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, boy. You're giving away all the good bits, it sounds like.
Believe me, we're not giving away anything. It's a torturous movie.
The Glastonbury sequence is a crime against humanity.
Yeah.
Yay. I can't wait to watch it. All right.
I can already see his post.
I'm going to ruffle through the pile of films Anthony sent next time I watch that. What was that one he sent me? The third
is
part
Anthony,
of the...
Is this like an act of terrorism? He's sending you Exorcist 2, Kingsman 2?
No, he asked me if I wanted Exorcist 2. Like I said,
sure
I'll take
Anthony's
it.
He's our friend.
Hey, he gives us you look at his letterbox profile, man. He says like something like, all podcasts suck except for the MMC. The only one worth listening to.
No, so. I know. Anthony's cool is awesome. I'm just joking.
He's like one of our biggest cheerleaders.
All these movies he sent you and they're all terrible.
Yeah. Well, he sent me Flags of Our Fathers and Letters from Iwo Jima as well. So I don't think they'd be
Letters from Iwo Jima is legit. That's a good movie.
Yeah. Okay.
Nice. Flags of Our Fathers I never saw.
I watched it. It's okay.
Everybody said Letters from Iwo Jima is the superior of the two.
It probably is. No one's surprised.
But I might ruffle through the pile. Anthony sent me if either Eye of the Needle might be next or...
Oh, is that the Richard Marquand film?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's supposed to be good.
Or I might watch the Beauty and the Beast one, the Clouseau movie.
Oh, that's real. That's a great film. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very good film. I think Anthony meant well. I just didn't want that stuff taking up space. Like I totally get it.
It's just one of those things where it's like I could sell these for a buck, or I could give them to Stu.
I've been throwing genuinely good movies into my trade-in pile because it's just like I don't have the space for all this stuff.
John, I do that all the time. Where I go, this is a good movie. I'm probably not going to watch it again. I can probably get rid of it.
Sudden Impact went right into my trade-in pile.
No, really.
Yeah, I said, okay, that's it for posterity, and you can go.
But
and Sulav's case, I know he sent you all those Italian horror films. I think he's upgrading the Blu-ray, and he's like,
said he did. Yeah,
yeah, because I know he sent me a bunch of videotapes back when he was upgrading to DVD.
So, oh, really? Wow, that's a few.
Yeah, it kind of works in a good cycle there.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Hunter?
I forgot. I don't know.
Well, I do want to bring up one last thing about Father Yod, Yokohama, or Kawasaki, whatever his fucking name was at the end, I don't know. When you heard the old audio recordings of him, did he sound like Bane to you in the Dark Knight Returns?
A little bit.
Yeah, could
a little bit.
You could say that. He sounded better than Jim Jones, who sounded like Daffy Duck. If you've ever heard of the real Jim Jones recordings, he's got a lisp, but he sounds like a gay Sylvester the Cat or something.
I saw
a... He does. I'm not even joking.
No, no, I saw a documentary
Sylvester
about him.
He does, and he was, like, super gay, so, yeah.
Was he a puff, was he?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Jim Jones was gay. It was like, and if you listen to those audio clips, you could tell. And one thing never mentioned is most of his followers were black. That is never mentioned. He was part of
a
socialist.
Oh, yeah.
I know that.
The Ty West movie that's based on Jim Jones, The Sacrament.
Oh, I didn't even know that was made. Interesting.
Yeah, that movie actually does acknowledge it. Like, there's, you know, the commune has a lot of black people in it.
Yeah. And that wasn't the case, I think, if you watch the old Powers Booth TV movie or the Mexican exploitation movie made with Stuart Whitman.
No, I remember watching The Sacrament and thinking, oh, this feels like the photos I've seen of Jim Jones's cult a lot. You know, like there's a lot of minorities there and stuff like that. But
yeah
Jim Jones was a kind of a darling of the sort of San Francisco politicians, like Harvey Milk was.
Harvey Milk loved him, and Jerry Brown and all those guys give him a huge pass.
Thank God for Twinkies, right? And Supervisor Dan White.
The views of Stuart Bulk are the views of Stuart Bulk and Stuart.
Yeah, don't worry. It's not Hunter or John's opinion. It's fucking mine. Well, I care. All right, let's wrap it up, boys. I got to go to the gym.
All right, guys. Well, we'll see you next week. And I think we're going to go ahead and say adios.
Magadol.
Thank you for listening to the Midnight Movie Cowboys. For more information, go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com. For feedback, comments, or show suggestions, go to midnightmoviecowboys@gmail.com. Like what you hear? Head on over to iTunes and leave us a review. Hear us on Stitcher Radio. Head over to Stitcher.com and download the app. Want to help the show out? Head on over to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and hit the PayPal donate. We appreciate all donations of any denomination. Find us on Twitter at MMCowboys. Like us on Facebook. Head over to Facebook.com. Type in Midnight Movie Cowboys. Hit the like button over there. Want to friend us personally on Facebook or follow us on Twitter? Go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and find the links from there on the right-hand side. Thanks for listening. See you all next week.